And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. I'd like to comment just a little bit on these things. I'd like to say just before we do comment that we appreciate having our brother John from over in New Orleans. He's come to dwell with us, he and his wife and children. They've moved in, the family's moved in with us. We appreciate having them here so very much. There's others that want to come and move in with us. And I trust that they will. We'll probably have to get some more chairs or enlarge the church or use this one for memories or something. But we welcome the people to come. All right. Now, I'd like to just talk with you a little bit and comment on a few of these things. First of all, if you notice, the Pharisees, which was a religious sect of that day, who believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was the Sadducees, who was a religious sect who did not believe in the resurrection. And then there was Pharisees who believed in the resurrection. Now, some of you probably remember the thing that happened to Paul when they had Paul over there and they was fixing to kill Paul. How that Paul, through wisdom from God, set the Pharisees against the Sadducees by talking about the resurrection. He knew that one believed in the resurrection and the other did not. And if he spoke up right away, that the ones concerning the resurrection would start favoring him, and they would feel a part of him, and he would feel a part of them, and they would get at each other, and he'd get out of there. And so it worked just that way. I wish we still had that same wisdom working today, you know. It'd be wonderful. All right, so then it is working for those that believe. But notice this now. The Pharisees came to Jesus. The Sadducees and the Pharisees always tempting Jesus. And they came to Jesus and they said, you tell us when the kingdom of God is coming. If you're such a great prophet, and all the people are praising you, and you're doing such great things, and you're supposed to be a know-all, you tell us when the kingdom of God's coming. And the Bible said they demanded of him that he answer. Apparently, they did not come, you know, with entreaty. They just demanded, if you be such and such of all that the people say, then we want to know when the kingdom of God's coming. But Jesus confounded them. Jesus answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You know, when he said that to those Pharisees, I would have liked to have seen the expression on their face. When he turned to them and he said, why, there's going to be any kingdom of God coming where you can see it. That's what he's saying. Is that right? There isn't going to be any kingdom of God coming to where you can see it, he said. It doesn't come by observation. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And from that time, Jesus began to preach parables. And Jesus would say, the kingdom of God is likened unto And then he'd say a mustard seed and the different things he would bring out. And he would talk to the people like I'm talking to you tonight. Maybe not raise his voice the way I'm talking. And I'm sure that he did raise his voice a lot of times when the multitude was so great on the hillside. He might have raised his voice pretty strong. But Jesus would expound the scriptures, break down the understanding of the word, and make them to understand the word. And they'd say, did not our hearts burn within us as he revealed to us these things? By the way, and here Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but it is within a man. This is why that I say that hundreds of thousands of people are going to miss the kingdom of God. Because we've got people that say, I've got to go work for God. I've got a ministry. I've got to do this. And I've got to do that. And all time busy. That don't know nothing about the word of God. They don't have any understanding about God. They haven't sat still long enough to fast or pray or to learn anything about Jesus. They're just on the go. Just drifters, wandering stars that the mist of darkness is waiting for. Now he said, Brother Pike, what do you mean the mist of darkness? Do you realize that the carnal mind is death and that is darkness? That God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. And when Paul said, turn my people from darkness to light, do you realize that he was saying, educate my people in the mind of Jesus Christ to get them out of that dark, dismal dungeon of carnal thinking that they're in? And do you understand that the mist of darkness is reserved for people who are still in the carnal mind and still in the understanding of darkness, who've never got their eyes enlightened to the understanding and revelation of Jesus Christ? That's what he means. And the mist of darkness is reserved for them forever. So then he said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's something that takes place on the inside of you. And all of those that don't receive it, all of those that can't relate to it, will go into the dark pit, will be cut off from among the people. That it is an understanding, it is an enlightenment, it is a comprehension, it is a faith, it is a translation from within. That God, by his divine spirit, is translating our spirit into the great spirit of God by faith in the finished works of the Son of God. So then we see Jesus, the great mighty Jesus, the man with the mind of God, the man with the great understanding, the Pharisees, great people, great Bible scholars, and yet we see Jesus confound them so till they don't even know how to answer him. Here they are demanding to know when the kingdom of God is coming, looking for something that they can have an argument over or some theological dispute over. And Jesus answers them in such a way they just stand there dumbfounded. They don't even know what to say anymore. In every case he did that. Is that right? Every place that Jesus ever spoke to them, he dumbfounded them in such a way that they wouldn't even know how to answer him. They'd come up looking for a dispute. They'd come up looking for something to pick him to pieces with. But he just always answered them in such a discreet manner until they didn't have any way to answer him. Like when they came to him about the taxes, and they wanted to indict him, and they wanted to show that he was a transgressor of the laws of that day, a transgressor of the laws of that day, and they wanted to get him in trouble. But Jesus just calmly, without losing his composure at all, he just stood there and he said, let me see one of your coins. Picked it up, looked at it, said, whose image is this, a superscription? They said, why, it's Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar that which belongs unto Caesar and that which belongs unto God. Render that unto God. And they were dumbfounded. They were dumbfounded. And they said, Lord, said, speaking of marriage. And then they spoke of the different ones that had this woman. Now you said, if a man die, his brother take his wife, bring forth seed, that there be an inheritance in the family. Now you explain it to us. And Jesus dumbfounded them again. He said, why in heaven they neither marry nor given in marriage? Said, you err, you don't know the scriptures. Can't you imagine how insulted they felt? Them great Bible scholars standing there pulling their beard, they must have thought, well, this young upstart telling me I don't know the scriptures. But Jesus said, you don't understand. and just walk off and leave them just literally dumbfounded. What if we today would press in with Christ and love the Lord Jesus in such a way that we become so acquainted with him that in every instance of life that we would have the understanding and ability of the mind of Jesus to answer those that confront us out yonder in the world in such a way to where there wouldn't be a dispute because of the way that we answered them. So then Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. He said the kingdom of God is within a man. Now, don't you know that those men went off, they probably sat and thought, and they discussed that for many months to come. And probably one would say to the other, what does that man mean? The kingdom of God on the inside of you. And somebody would probably say, well, it's absurd. What do you mean? The man's crazy. He's out of his mind. Talking about a kingdom being on the inside of a human being. But see, Jesus knew what he was talking about, didn't he? See, you say, well, Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. We, in this day, we're more brilliant than that. But I'm afraid it's not true. Hundreds of thousands of people are still waiting for Christ Jesus to literally come down in this world and set up a kingdom in this world to where they can see him and see the kingdom in this world right here. Still waiting for it. But look at the way that Jesus answered them. Jesus said to them, there's going to come a time when you're going to desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. I've walked with you. I've been among you, Jesus said. I've done great things among you. I've blessed you. I've healed the sick. I've done everything that I could to encourage you, to enlighten you. But he said, I'm going to go away. And that is going to come a day when you're going to long to have one of the days of the Son of Man and the consolation that you felt while he was around. The comfort and the peace and the security that you felt while his presence was there. But he said to them, he said, many people are going to come. And they're going to say, we're building the kingdom over here. And we're building the kingdom over here. And this is the way it is over here. But he said, don't you pay any attention to them. Don't pay any attention to them. He said, for as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part unto heaven shineth unto the other part unto heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. He told them, he said, there will come a time when the Son of Man will be revealed. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that's what we want to hold on to right there. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now listen to this. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. Now I want you to observe that for just a minute. You know, no one would be standing out here and see the Lord Jesus coming in heaven and run back here to get his suitcase. How many of you agree to that? Now, we don't have much understanding in this life, but we've got more understanding than that. Jesus wasn't talking about somebody looking and seeing the Son of Man come and run back and try to get his best pair of shoes. Do you believe that? What does he mean here? He says, in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. No man is going to run down from the housetop and say, my God, here comes Jesus. I better run and get my suitcase. I better run and get my bed out of the house. I better run in here and get my bed sheets. Nobody would do that. Why, they'd be so, I say this, they would be so frozen to the spot till I dare say they couldn't even move. If Christ Jesus today broke the heavens, as we say here, I would say that if the President of the United States saw him, that he'd freeze. He'd probably have a heart attack right there. If God didn't keep him alive, don't you know that if angels appear to men like Daniel and they become his dead men, don't you know that when Jesus Christ himself comes from the heaven, everybody will be froze. Nobody will be able to do anything. It'll be such a terrifying experience. When they are allowed, that is when Christ allows them to regain their composure, or begin to be flexible and move about again, or agile. When God does that, you know what they'll do? The Bible said they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. So then Jesus is trying to get something over to us here. He's trying to make us understand something. Notice that all of this is in the same passage of Scripture. All of it's connected together. All of it is in the same way. Every bit of it is connected together. They wanted to know when the kingdom was coming. Jesus tells them there will be no such day. They say, Brother Pike, he didn't say that. According to what I understand, that's what he's saying. He definitely states here that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It doesn't come by observation. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't come by observation at all. Not at all. It's not a matter of whether maybe it will come later. It doesn't come at all by observation. This confounded the Pharisees. It still today confounds the people. They don't understand it. They can't figure it out. They say, Brother Pike, what do you mean it's not coming at all? The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is not coming by observation, brothers and sisters, you don't have to explain it or understand it. It means just exactly what it says. It means that ain't nobody going to look out here and see the kingdom of God coming. How do you believe that? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, how can the kingdom of God be in the earth if it doesn't come by observation? All right, let's look at it again. It doesn't come by observation because the kingdom of God is already here. It's been here ever since Calvary. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. That's the thing that we need to get a hold of. You say, Brother Pike, the kingdom of God couldn't be here already. Then how is it the Bible tells us that men pressed their way into the kingdom of God? How is it that Jesus made the statement, said they shall come from the east and come from the west, and they shall sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness? It's obvious that what he was saying was that the Jews, which was the children of the kingdom, that was in the days of David, while the kingdom was on earth, that those people are blinded in part, and the children of the kingdom are cast out of the kingdom. That is, David and all of the kingdom has been cut off. And that the Gentiles are about to come in, and that they will come from the east, and they will come from the west, and by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, they shall be translated into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. So then today, I am in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It's obvious tonight that you cannot see the kingdom of God. You're looking at me tonight, I'm in the kingdom of God, but tell me, where is the kingdom of God? So then the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. He says to them, the kingdom of God is within you, which indicates that my spirit, my inner man, has been translated into God's spirit, and that God is a spirit. He is above you. He is in you. He is through you. He is everywhere. Brother Taylor sings a song, he's here, he's here. He's been here all the time. God's Spirit is above you. God's Spirit is in you. God's Spirit is through you. Paul said you have your state of being in God. You breathe and exist in God. Is that right? So then the kingdom of God is here. It's been here. We're translated into it. In my inner spirit, my inner man that Paul speaks of, it has been translated into the great Spirit of God, the great oneness of the Holy Spirit, by faith in the Word of Spirit. My spirit has become one with God, and my spirit has been translated into the marvelous Spirit of God. So then my spirit existeth no more in the carnal mind or in the satanic realms of death, but my spirit has been taken out of that realm, out of that world, and translated into the kingdom of God. Tonight I'm standing here in the kingdom of God. I am a son of God. I am not expecting to become a son of God. I have no such expectations in my heart. Beloved friend, I am a son of God right here and now, right now. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God, John said. I'm already a son of God. I'm already in the kingdom of God. If Jesus should come up tonight in his corporal body, I would not ask him such question. Why? Because only a man that's void of understanding would ask a question like that. When shall the kingdom come? Now, to me, this proves one thing, and that is the greatest Bible scholars of today can be ignorant. These men were great, mighty, learned men. Men that spent all of their time in understanding and study. But nevertheless, they were confounded. They were confounded. They could not understand. The great seminaries of today, the great doctors of divinity, the great powers, religious powers of today, they do not understand. That's why that I don't agree with the charismatic way of life. That's why that I do not agree with the way of life that does not hold to, teach, and practice holiness. Because there's only one kingdom of God, and that kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit within you. And if the Holy Spirit is within you, you're going to be holy. Whatever the Spirit is within you, that's the kind of a person you're going to be. And if you're not holy, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're none of His. Alright, so then, like some of the charismatic orders of the day, they say all you've got to do is speak in tongues. And I learned just recently that they'll send you a book. And this book tells you how to get the Holy Ghost. It tells you all you've got to do is speak in tongues. You order the Holy Ghost by mail. It tells you, now I know that there's books that could help you to know how to receive the Spirit. But friend, you don't order the Holy Ghost by mail. That's blasphemous. But they tell you all of the moods and the feelings and everything as you speak in tongues that makes you have the Holy Ghost. I tell you that you can speak in tongues until your teeth rattles and you still don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not being sacrilegious when I tell you. That's according to the Bible. But you can't have God's Spirit without having the Holy Ghost, because God's Spirit is the Holy Ghost. There's only one Holy Ghost, and that is God's Spirit. All right. So then they said, we want to see the kingdom of God. When is it coming? When is this kingdom of God coming? And Jesus said, you don't see it by observation. It just don't come that way. Now, if Jesus had looked at them and said, you can't see it, you can't see the kingdom of God coming, I'd have felt a little bit different about it. But he didn't say that. He said it just don't come by observation. You can have your towers of observation and study the stars and study the moon and everything in this world. But brother, you'll never see the kingdom of God. The Bible said the wicked shall never see good. Never see good. And the kingdom of God is good. So then the only way to see the kingdom of God is through faith in Christ. Through the mind of Jesus Christ. Having our minds enlightened by the Word of God. Is that right? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So then, we need to observe the things of God. Isn't that right? Amen. according to the way of God and according to the doings of God. I have got to get a hold of this, and that is that if I am going to be a part of what God is doing, I'm going to have to believe what God says about it. I'm going to have to accept the description that God gives of it and the way that God presents it. I can't take the outlook, well, I believe this and I believe that and I feel this and it's going to be like that because my grandmother or somebody told me I've got to take God's word, and whatever God's word says, I don't care what my grandmother said about it. I don't care what the preacher said about it. I don't care what anyone said about it, whether he worked a miracle or didn't work a miracle. When the God's word says something, that's the way it is. Paul said, I preach the word of God to you, and if any man come to you preaching anything other than what I have preached to you, though he be an angel, let him be accursed. If an angelic being walked in that door tonight, and that angelic being walked up to me and said, George Pike, that is wrong, I'd say, you are a liar. Oh, somebody said, you wouldn't do that. Yes, I would. Wouldn't be but one reason I wouldn't, and that was God wouldn't give me strength to speak. I'd tell him to his face he was a liar. Anybody that crosses the word is a liar. Anybody that don't come to this word is a liar. This is God's eternal word. It's something that's been proven down through the years. It gives the history of God's people. It's been proven. It's been vindicated. It's been proven to be absolutely God's word in every way. No matter what, remember, God's word is the way. Always God's word is the way. Never at any time confuse God's word. Never. Always remember, God's word is right. Now, he said the kingdom of God will never come by observation. You will never see the kingdom of God coming by observation. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what he was saying was that they would never see it. That couldn't have been the end. If that is true, why did he turn to the same ones he said that would never see it and say it's within you? He identified them with it. Isn't that right? Showing the grace of God. I believe that Jesus meant that some of you Pharisees, though you're mixed up in this religious, hypocritical thing, yet there's some of you that's got the kingdom of God within you, that you're sincere, that you love Jesus, and you've got the kingdom of God within you. To the extent that God has granted it. I believe that. He didn't say it's going to be within you. He said it's in you. I believe that knowing the words of God through the Bible, through the book of Moses, that word was instilled within their hearts and Jesus recognized it. And that's why he spoke the way he did. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll see a day. I'm not going to hold you long, but I want you to listen good. You will see a day, Jesus said, that will be called the day of the Son of Man. In that day, the Son of Man shall be revealed. Now listen to it. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It doesn't come by looking after it. There will come a time as the lightning lighteneth out of one part of heaven unto the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now let's don't confuse it. Let's go down and look at it. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. They're one and the same now. Tying them together just like they are to show you it's the same day. In that day which shall be he, in that day he which shall be upon the housetop and is stuck in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Now whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now there's something he's trying to tell us. He said, if you're out here in the field, and the day of the Son of Man comes where Christ is being revealed, don't turn around and try to get back to the house over here. Now, you try to fit that together with what I'm about to say. The rapture takes place, as we say. Here comes the rapture. The rapture's taking place. Here's people standing all around. One of them said, oh, I better go back home. Are you listening? I better go back home. That don't fit right, does it? Does it fit right? You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. How quick? That quick. Quicker. In a moment. How can somebody say, wait, before that moment takes place, I got to go back home? Why, he wouldn't have time to even think, let alone say that. You understand what I'm saying? So then Christ is trying to tell us something. He's speaking of a day of the revelation of Christ. In the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Get your mind off of that back end. Don't go to thinking about goods in this world. It's too late to do that. Don't go to preparing for the goods of this life and appropriating funds for the things of this world. Looking back here in this world, planning this, and you got to go back and get this and go. Don't do it. In the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Now listen to it. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. Now, we would say, well, Brother Pike, what about them that ain't changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye? What about them that's going to have to go through the tribulation period? All right, there's a good thought. What about them? Say, well, now they ain't need to go back to the house. They need to go back and get the stuff they've got over there because they're not going anywhere anyway. You say, now that's what he was speaking of. Well, if that's what he's speaking of, why did he tell them not to do that? Why didn't he say, now you folks that missed this great event, you run back and get your stuff because you're going to need it. Something's wrong. You say, well, he wouldn't be interested, nothing like that. Well, he was over there when he told Peter and him, he said, if you ain't got a sword, you better buy you one. He said, I'm fixing to leave. Didn't he? In other words, if you're going to live by the sword, you better get a hold to one right away. Because I won't be with you. Is that right? They didn't understand what he was saying. Somebody said, well, we got one here. He said, well, that's enough. That'll do. So they whacked a man's ears off. Or his ear. You understand what I'm saying, folks? See, Jesus knew that we're like little babies. He knew they were like little babies. They didn't understand. Jesus said, have you yet hardened your heart? You don't understand. In the day of the Son of Man, listen at it. But as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus tried so hard to make them understand. Now listen to the way he tries to express himself. He said the kingdom of God don't come by observation. Get away from that. It don't come that way. And then he went on to have a follow-up to show them how easy it would be to be deceived if you stayed with that kind of thinking. Now listen real good. He said it don't come that way. He said, for as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating, they were drinking, they were planning, they were building. You follow me? In other words, what Jesus was saying, that there will be no change in life. Don't think some strange thing is going to take place, some great outstanding thing is going to take place. That's going to let you know. He said it won't be like that. He said, folks, listen, it don't come by observation. You're not going to see anything happen. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, remember, they were building, he said. They were planning. Everything was normal. There wasn't any change. They were marrying. They were given in marriage. They were going on just with their regular routine of life. Nothing didn't happen outstanding or out of the ordinary. Said it was just like it always was. What are you saying, Jesus? That the kingdom don't come by observation. There's not going to be an interruption of nature. There isn't going to be a great interruption of nature. There's going to be a great interruption of government. There isn't going to be a great interruption of school and marriage and house of households and whatever. There isn't going to be anything like that, Jesus said. He said, I warn you, you're not going to see anything. The wicked won't see any good when it comes. If there was an interruption of those great things, beloved friend, the wicked would see it just like the righteous would see it. But God has made it like a thief in the night. I say unto you, Jesus said, that in that hour there shall be two that will be in the field. One taken and one left. Two in the bed. One taken and one left. Again, we see that it's got to be a universal thing. Why would somebody be in the bed? I mean, how could somebody be in the bed and somebody in the field cutting down wheat? Oh, somebody said, well, we're modern today. We've got lights on the tractors. Well, that could be. That could be. If you want to accept it like that, that could be. But he makes it plain here that it's going to be a universal thing all over the world. That whereas it be night here, it will be daylight there. That all over the world, that this thing will be a universal thing. And he tells them here, he said, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Now, is Jesus saying to me that when we see him break the clouds of heaven, Brother Pike, don't you run back there and try to get the few dollars that you might have back there, if I had any. Don't run back there and do that, because if you do, you're going to lose your life. Stay with me. Stay right up here, and I'll change in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Now, you know that don't make sense now, does it? Does that make sense to you? I'm going to do this thing in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Paul said, bear with me a little in my folly, my foolishness, to try to get my thought over now. I'm going to change you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But Brother Pike, I warn you, at that moment, twinkling of an eye, don't you run back and try to get your new shoes now and your new suit. If you do, I'm going to leave you. No, that don't fit together. Something ain't right about that. What do you mean, Jesus? Don't you know that I know that at that moment it's too late to do anything like that? How is it that you're going to tell me that I'm going to lose my life if I don't just stand still? Brother, standing still ain't going to help you. If you don't go back for your new shoes, if you do go back for your new shoes, it ain't going to help you. He wasn't talking about that. All right, then what is he talking about? He's trying to tell us here that this is a period of time. Now listen and see if it's right. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take away. Take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, we would say, there is the answer, Brother Pike. In that day, if I turn around, then I lose my life. You don't believe that. Somebody said, well, that's what he said. He said, Lot's wife turned around, and she hadn't turned around and looked in that direction, she'd been all right. That is true. Lot's wife would have been all right if she hadn't turned and looked in that direction. She'd have been all right. But the only way she would have been all right is that she would have been all right in her heart before she ever turned and looked in that direction. The thing that caused her to look back in that direction was the fact that her heart was unclean before God to start with. God only took her out of there for Lot's sake. God can't justify the wicked. Somebody said, well, was he playing some kind of game? Here he saves her out of Sodom and Gomorrah, gets her away from all the danger, and then he turns into a pillar of salt. No, You say, well, don't God understand enough to know that he was going to turn her into a pillar of salt before he took her out? He sure did. Well, why did he bother to take her out? To show Lot that he loved him and to love his family. And that she was to blame for being lost. If he'd have left her down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot would have said, God, you're cruel. You left my wife down here. But God wanted Lot to know that she was the wretched, wicked one. So he'd done his part in getting her out, and she still looked back into Egypt. Isn't that the truth today? God has given grace all over the world. He's got you out of the Egypt bondage of evils and worldly things. But you just can't keep your minds off of them. Even the advantage of the day is just drooling for money and prestige and fame. Running themselves wild for it. Looking back into Egypt. Like a man told me the other day. One of the great, great preachers of our day that you see on TV and everywhere else said he'd get up and said he would tell them people, said he would lamb blast them for dressing out in bathing suits and things, and said he would leave the pulpit and go do the very same thing he got on them about. You know, I can get up here and say, give up your money, give up everything you got, give it up. And I say, sure, give it up. Brother Taylor, you take it up in a tub while they're giving it up. That's some more sermon. Remember the little widow, she gave her all. Brother Taylor, get your tub ready, they're going to give her all. You understand what I'm saying? That ain't God. Brother, God expects a minister to give up just like you give up, and all the rest to give up. Everybody. That's what I don't like about you, Brother Pike. Well, I can't help it. That's the way I'm put together. The Lord wound me up that way, and that's the way I unwind. Give me a few more minutes and I'll quit. I just want to clarify this. All right, folks are going to be eating and drinking as it was in the days of the Son of Man. He says here, you're going to desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. What was the days of the Son of Man? He walked in the earth. Then he says, in the day of the Son of Man, when he is to be revealed. Then he comes on down and he says here, said he that seeks to save his life. He that seeks to save his life. That doesn't mean at the last moment that you're going to run and say, my God, I got to do something. Cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on you. Hide you from the face of him. You know, you just stand there. How in the world is a wicked man going to stand there? A man that's got his mind on the lust of this world. His children are a bunch of wretches. His wife is a wretch. He's a wretch. All of his labors in the world, his gold and silver, don't know nothing about God. How could he stand there and say, oh my God, here comes Jesus. I ain't a worry about all that. I'm standing right here so he'll take me. Don't you know God ain't going to do that? If God's going to do that, let's all just forget about everything and eat, drink, and be merry. He isn't going to do that. The Lord is speaking of a period of time. He said, he that seeketh to save his life. How can you save your life? By making provisions for your flesh. By making provisions for your family. By making provisions so that you can ride good. You can eat good. You can do good. That's what God means. He that's willing to give is all like the widow. Give your life to humanity through fasting, prayer, and supplication. Give your dollars along with it. Clean your wardrobes out. Do something. How's the mother say, well, this is the point where I lose interest. This ain't the point where you lost interest. You never did have an interest. You don't have any part of the kingdom of God. That's why Paul said one time to him over there, Peter and them, they spoke to him. They said, well, your heart ain't right with God. You're in the bonds of iniquity, the galls of bitterness. That's why preachers will get up and preach against Brother Pike in his own pulpit. Give them a chance to get up here and preach, and they ease and edge around till they cut me down. But God will cut them down. Brother, God's word is right. Hallelujah. And God called me to preach it in Stambart. He said, no man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life, and it never has been one and never will be one. God said it. I believe it. And it's so. Amen. Brother, when you stand for God's word and you stand for God's way, Nothing will ever bypass that. They may get heady and high-minded and think they're super dupers and think a lot of themselves. Whether it be ministers or be your helpers or be your workers or whatever, or whether it be the banker or some great businessman or professional man, but brother, God will cut them down like a tree. This is His word. This is His word. What is He telling us? What is He telling us? He is trying His best to get it over that this is going to be a season. There is a season, beloved friend. There is a season, and that season is called the day of the Son of Man. The day of the Son of Man. You say, but Brother Pike, it says there's lightning that flashes from the heaven, so shall His coming be. I know that. But He also said, I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven. Didn't He? How many of you saw Him fall? Where is the history? Where is the record? Where the theologians saw Him fall, where the Pharisees saw Him fall, where the Sadducees saw Him fall. Nobody didn't. Jesus said, I did. I saw Him fall. Glory to God. I tell you, there's something coming on. Something coming on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you don't think that anybody is going to see the coming of the Lord? Let's look at it just a minute more and we'll close. The Bible said, and they that crucified Him shall narrowly look upon Him in that day. Isn't that right? Now, I want you to answer me. How can they narrowly look upon Him when they're dead? How can they narrowly look upon them that crucified Him are dead? Somebody said, yeah, that's all right. They'll come back alive. But the Bible said the wicked dead live not again until the 1,000 years was finished. Somebody say, but they'll know. The Bible said the dead know not anything. Come on now. Explain it to me if you know. There's a right way and a wrong way. And I thank God for the right way. Hallelujah! Praise God. So then He's trying to tell us something. We need to understand, children of God, what He's saying. We need to understand. God, you say, well, Brother Pike, maybe we can't understand. The Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. The wicked shall not see when good cometh, but the righteous shall see. You say, well, how is it going to be? That's where your moment and twinkling of the eye comes in. I wish we had about another hour because that calls for another sermon. You want to stand with me? Hallelujah. God is so good and wonderful. I want you to really pray for us that the Lord will help us. Cindy was just telling me that Dale, my daughter, says she'd gone into a grocery store to buy groceries. And said they never did ring it up on the cash register. They just passed it under a light and it automatically totaled them up for them. Brother James Torrance, I believe it was, brought me a little paper, a little clipping. And in this clipping said that they were fixing to give everybody an identification card. Said it was one card that reminds you's got a whole string of things attached to it. That is to be their ID card. Which makes me to know that the mark of the beast is around the corner. Mark of the beast. You say, what do you mean mark of the beast? The mark of a human being. A human being ain't nothing but a beast. A son of God now, he's not a beast. But the mark of a human being. The mark they're going to use on a human being. They're going to brand him like cattle. See, beast belong to somebody. How many of you know that? See, cattle belong to somebody. I'm a sheep. I belong to somebody. Hallelujah. Beasts belong to somebody. Is that right? They belong to somebody. That means that the Antichrist is going to round up the herd because they all belong to him. All of them belong to Satan. You say, no, it couldn't be. Jesus told a man, said, you're of your father, the devil. He belonged to the devil. See, the devil begat him. He was a liar from the beginning. But I belong to God. I'm a child of truth. We're set for the defense of the gospel. All right. So it is a late hour. It is a sad time. Forgive me when I holler and scream at you, because I don't mean to do that. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I just get excited. I'm so thankful that the Lord considered me. He didn't have to consider me. He didn't have to consider you. How do you know that you're not important? How do you know Jesus is important?
Yes, Lord.
And how do you know because Jesus is important to God, that makes you important through His blood? Sure it does. Everybody that's under the blood covered is of great importance to God because they're a member of that great important body. Let's sing a little chorus together. I want to say again, we appreciate so much having Brother John from New Orleans. He and his family are now part of the family here. Appreciate him being here. And also Sister Anna's daughters, two daughters, has been with us now pretty regular. I'm sure glad to see the girls back in church. Both of them's had an experience with God, fasting and praying and weeping before the Lord. And I'm just glad to see her family coming back in. And also glad to see Tony come in. He wrote me a letter the other day, said he came by and I wasn't here. But glad to see him slip in tonight. How do you appreciate Tony?
Amen.
All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. Jesus said, love one another. Love one another. How do you know that you can be honest and straight, godly, and still love one another? You know, down at the men's meeting, I just love it. I love for my men to be bold like a lion, have a backbone like a saw log. And if they don't agree with anything, just stand up and say, whoop, I don't see it like that. And then let them speak their piece. I don't want them to be mean. I don't want them to be contrary. I don't want them to be haughty. But I like the way Gilbert does sometimes. Sometimes Gilbert won't be saying nothing. He'll just be sitting there. And then after a while, he'll lick his lips about twice. And he'll say, now, I don't believe that. Because that starts a new routine right there. We get in a new discussion. But that's the way it ought to be. You know, people should be like that. In the men's meeting, speak up. We got brethren that they speak up. They don't try to be mean and haughty, but they speak up. See, that's good government. Now, they tell me that San Yon Moon, is it? San Yon Moon. That they're having trouble out of him. He's really speaking up. I think he's told the government he's going to change the form of government. So they really got stirred up. He's breaking a lot of the rules. But I know that means imprisonment unless God is with him. There's one thing about it. If he starts doing that, he's going to find out whether God's with him or not. That's for sure. He might be convinced that God's with him, but that's a quick way to find out right there. I don't believe God's in what he's doing. I believe God's in it to the extent that God has suffered it to be like that. But to shake things up. But I don't believe God's in it myself. Because I don't see him perfecting holiness under the Lord. I don't believe God's in any movement that don't preach holiness and live holiness. I really believe that that's true. Let's sing this little chorus together, will you? I'm wondering about Carl. I hadn't seen him in a while. I sure hope nothing's gone wrong. Hope you'll be coming over, Brother Lynn. Tommy. Let's just sing together. I believe Tommy's wife was in the hospital. Isn't that right? She seemed to be a real faithful, fine person. Or that is Betty telling me she's a real fine person. Let's sing this chorus together. Don't forget to pray for Tommy and his wife and also for Brother Carl. He's got a few little problems at home. And let's pray one for another. You pray for me. I pray for you. You pray for me. I need your prayers. I need your help. A lot of people in the Carolinas and Tennessee, all over Georgia and different states around the nation, they write letters and they say, Brother Pike, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I'm also glad to see Sheila in service. She's been coming pretty regular. It's been for a long time she didn't come. Then she started. She's been coming pretty regular. I hope and pray that she'll surrender her heart to God. I know that Eloise and Sam would like to see her do that. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh,